You might like to open your Bible to Jeremiah and chapter 32. And in our study of Jeremiah, we have been looking at the Jeremiah has bought a piece of property under extreme conditions that you would never think of doing that. And therefore, as we shared, he is in prison, he's bought a piece of property, and Nebuchadnezzar is about to clobber the city and level it. And he's bought the land anyway. And he did so because God had sent him the delivery of that piece of property to buy it. And it seemed silly to buy it, so he bought it. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and we've been looking at that, so Jeremiah is in a place to have to trust God and believe God, which was one of the whole points of the piece of property. Would Jeremiah illustrate his trust in God, that God would restore the land after 70 years, as he said he would? And Jeremiah believed God. He did. The people in Jerusalem were not believing. Judah, Jerusalem, etc. They did not exercise their relationship to God, and therefore they got harder and harder, as it were, in the wrong kind of way. And so they were set. They were set against God very hard. Now God, illustration that we looked at, chapter 32, and remember, Jeremiah had believed God, and he knew everything was going to be fire tested by Nebuchadnezzar. And he signed the document, took the papers, the title deed and everything, and he took them and had them sealed. And he had them sealed in a special way so that, as we shared, that when the enemy came, that jar, that clay jar, would be put aside, and the likelihood of it being broken, it could be broken, the likelihood of it being broken was not too upfront. So therefore, verse 14, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, the evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. And we shared the vessel, the normal, how they made a clay vessel, and they made it regular clay, but in order to make it so that it could be hard clay, the people in Jerusalem, their heart has got very hard. God is going to take and put the title deed to show the God's going to honor his word and do it. And he put the title deed in a jar, and the jar is heated. The fire test of the jar makes the clay very, very hard. It is no longer pliable. It won't crumble in water, but it could be broken, as we mentioned. Now, so when the document went in that and it was sealed. And we illustrated the Dead Sea Scrolls. The first seven of them were 2,000 years old when they opened the jar, perfect condition. 2,000 years old in those jars. So we have the jars, and we're looking at them in the light of Jeremiah, in the light of God keeping his word. His word would be well, the title deed would be safe in the jar. God's word would be safe in the heart of Jeremiah. It would be safe. And we were seeking to get our handle on that. So, in order to see Jeremiah, and we share together, Jeremiah had got the tests, the trials. He didn't go like Jonah into the city of Nineveh, go up and down the streets, tell him to repent, and he left. But Jeremiah has spent these years banging away, and they've got harder and harder. So Jeremiah has been tested, retested, and tested again. So each time Jeremiah comes through the test, he gets stronger, more courageous, easier to do, and he goes to the next step. So we looked at Jeremiah chapter 20, and how did he do this? Well, because think of the jar and the fire, and Jeremiah is exercising that. Chapter 20, if I can, directly in verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, our Lord, nor speak any more in his name, because no one listens, no one cares, and all they do is come after me. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire. So Jeremiah is housing in his body of clay, he's housing God's word, and God, and is going to exercise his word, as we shared in Jeremiah. My word is a fire. It's a hammer. So here's Jeremiah, and Jeremiah says, I'm not going to give this out anymore because it's burning in me, and if it stays in me, I have to keep doing it. I'm going to get rid of it. But he couldn't. Verse 9. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I could not get away from it. I could not stop. God was having his way in my life by fire. And that's why he's going to hang in there and go down the corridor of time and make it. Now, having said that, you got Jeremiah. You wonder how he did it. He did it. God was in his heart, God's word and God's person in his heart, and he was able to go down the corridor of time as he did and hang in there, because God, Jeremiah is just like everybody else. What's the difference with Jeremiah? He's believing. He's believing. The people are not believing. What makes the difference? Jeremiah is believing. And that makes the difference. The believer, we'll do it in a sec, the believer needs to be believing, which is what we tried to look at last night a little bit. The believer needs to be believing. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and in doing that, to try to illustrate as we go, so you make it a little more personal to yourself in believing, and you got to believe. Now, do most of you believe that the shoes on your feet are yours? Does that seem all right? Do most of you have shoes, I hope, on your feet? Do you believe they're yours? Are you believing the shoes are on your feet? How's that? You believe your shoes are on your feet? Do you believe that you came here by automobile? Do you believe you came here by automobile? You believe you came here by automobile. And illustration, you believe you're sitting in the pew. What are you doing? All the things I just said, you're believing. That's what you're doing. You believe them, and you're believing them, even though we don't think about it. You have no question the shoes are on your feet. You're believing it. Do you believe you're a son of God right now? Right now. Were you believing that before you got in the building? That you're a son of God? See? You believe the shoes. If you don't practice believing, you aren't believing, even though I didn't say you weren't saved. I'm saying you're not believing. So how can you enjoy your shoes and safely the relationship between your shoes and you? Because you're believing them. You're believing God, is you're believing you're a child of God. You're believing you received the Lord as your Savior. And you have to be believing. If you don't believe are you believing a child of God, a son of God? Are you believing you're in the presence of God? See, you've been everywhere today. Do you believe you were in the presence of God? Were you believing that? I don't know. Were you believing it? See, if we aren't believing it, we may be a believer, but we aren't believing. So we don't enjoy. We don't enjoy the seat. We don't enjoy the shoes. We don't enjoy the car because we aren't believing. We don't exercise God because we aren't believing. And that's what you have to say. But people say you're believers. Believers have to be believing. What we're doing now is an exercise for what? To be believing. We're looking at information, and we're believing God recorded it. God was there to do it to Jeremiah and the people and Nebuchadnezzar, and we're believing. We're supposed to be believing. I'm not just reading, I'm believing. This is what happened. This is where it is. So you have to practice that. And if you don't practice that, then you don't become strong. And the only time you think about God is when you have your devotions, maybe. Or you come to church, maybe. Or there's something other occasion when you aren't practicing being a believer. And therefore you don't enjoy, you can't enjoy being saved because you aren't believing. You're always a child of God if you're saved, and you need to be believing. I'm always a child of God. I'm always in the presence of God. God is always in my heart. When isn't he? He isn't. And it isn't my heart. My heart can't believe. My spine, my pancreas doesn't believe. They're just parts of my body. I believe in here. I live in here. And my body isn't. My body's just doing what it's supposed to do. And I believe God has done something when he saves us and keeps us in a most wonderful way. So Jeremiah is exercising because God in his heart, in his word, honors his word. God keeps Jeremiah. He's all alone. We have, apart from Baruch, his servant, he's all alone. And God keeps him. And after Nebuchadnezzar levels the city, God keeps him. They all run to Egypt. He doesn't go to Egypt. Jeremiah hangs in there. God keeps him because God keeps the documents are kept in the jar, and God's word is kept in the heart of the believer. Why is God's word kept in the heart of the believer? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the word, John 1:14, become flesh. John 1:1-3. He was the Word in the beginning. He is God. The Word is God. He is God. So when I received and you received the Lord as your Savior, we said, the Word. I received the Word. And thus all the words that I'm reading. And that's why I'm to believe them. God put them in my heart, in your heart, when you received him as your Savior. And that's why you read them here and believe them in here and rest on them in your heart. Because God, who said them here in your Bible, is the one who is, the one who said them in your Bible, you're reading it, is in your heart and he said them. Do you understand that? Therefore, 2 Corinthians. I'm just tying this part of it so that we connect what we just said. 2 Corinthians 4, and you'd be right, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? In our hearts. What for? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. How are we to know and understand the knowledge of the glory of God? In the face of Jesus Christ. That's why. I received him as my Savior. I received the author. I received the author who wrote the book. I received it. And in the light of that, verse 7, to tie to chapter 32 of Jeremiah, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen clay vessels, that purpose, the excellency, the superabounding, beyond all way to measure it, the excellency of the power, dynamic, may be of God and not of us. So it has anything to do with us. So I'm not trying to be, I'm a saved person and I got to have fire to get hard. No, I don't have to get fire to get hard. No, I need to trust God and be believing him. Who is the fire? Our God is a consuming fire. Deuteronomy and Corinthians. He's a consuming fire. God's the fire. And God is what? He's doing what he's doing to protect us, to help us. Therefore, with that in mind, if you keep that in mind, over if I can, please, to Thessalonians. And in 2 Thessalonians, you know, 2 Thessalonians, it's 1 Thessalonians. It is 2 Thessalonians because the page before it, before 2 Thessalonians 1:1, the page before it is 1 Thessalonians. So if you found 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, you're right. Should be right there for 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Did that come out all right? Now, of the wonderful will of God for your life, all of these are present tense, are commands, the commands. They aren't suggestions. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. That's a way of, what do you want to know what God's will is for your life? Be rejoicing. Why? Hang on. Why? Could be because God has no problems. Pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping. A relationship, practice it. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. For believing, thanking God. Two words, if you practice them, it'll help you. Believe and be thanking. Not hard. And God will say them over and over and over and over again to us. Now, and verse 19, quench, don't extinguish, present command. Don't squash, don't put out the fire. Quench not the Spirit of God. Our God is a consuming fire. The Spirit of God in your heart. is going to be what? He's going to exercise God's awesome, wonderful what? Power. The word consume, consuming, to fire. What does fire do? It eats up. You put a big pile of wood down and have the fire, and the fire eats up the wood. It eats up everything, fire does. And leaves only what can stand the fire test. That's all it does. Yeah. So God is a consuming fire, and the Spirit of God in the heart of the believer is going to be what? He's going to be the fire. So I don't have to feel hot somewhere. I don't have to worry about cooling down. God is the fire. God in me. God is a wonderful one, and God has made us. What? Why isn't the vessel? God, you didn't put us in a asbestos suit. You put us in a earthen vessel, clay vessel. That's what you put us in, of dust. That's how you put us. And you're going to demonstrate what? Your magnificent power, excellency, the superabounding power in a clay vessel. The clay vessel looks the same, but what's inside of it is indestructible. There it is. Wow. Now, you got that a little bit. That's God. So, God, how are you going to keep me? I'm going to go and thank you that I could know you as my Savior. And I believe. I'm a believing believer, so I enjoy being saved because I'm practicing being saved, practicing being a son. I'm practicing having life. That's what I do. That's what you do. If you practice it, it's way of life. You want to talk to me at night, moon, whenever you want. Same thing. What? We're believers. We're to be believing, literally. Not every now and then when I think of it. Then we're weak believers. And we aren't strong. And we have, anyway, so whatever we're going to do, I'm going to, back to doing stuff, I'm going to do it as a believer. If I'm not a believing believer, I'm just a believer, I may or may not be believing at that time. Let alone, this is just believers, let alone unsaved people. So, having said that, 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter, if I may. And picking up Peter's thought, and now I'm going to hold your finger right in 1 Peter chapter 1 and go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We are admonished believers. May I go directly to chapter 3 and in the light of verse 4. Saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, way back in Noah's day, and that all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That is, and then talking about the flood. We don't believe the flood ever happened. Sliding down in the light of that context, we don't believe. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, us believers, long before being angry, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's giving occasion for the believers to get with it and for the unsaved to get saved. And for believers, he gives them space to grow, to know. In the light of what? Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be, ought ye to be, in all holy conversation, manner of life, and godliness, looking, verse 12, for the hastening unto the coming day of the law of God, wherein the heavens being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, verse 13, we according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Verse 14, application. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent that we may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So we're looking to God, and God's waiting, patient with all of us, with the believers at the church at the end of the age, doing all of that. Having said that, and God's doing that, back over to chapter 1. And by the way, when God does, what's he going to do? Here's all remember they got the pictures from the website out there, whatever you call it, way out there in space, near opposite Mars, some out there, taking pictures, these big pictures, and with all these little dots, the camera looking dots. And you know all those dots are galaxies. They aren't stars. They're just galaxies. That means we can't get close enough. You see galaxies. That's all we can see. Galaxies. A whole bunch of whatever a galaxy is. We're in one galaxy. Now, so in the process, 1 Peter, and in, if I can, verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. And remember now, persecution, apostasy is getting very high in the New Testament, in Jerusalem and the Asia and Greece and all of it, Africa, North Africa. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, many kinds of tests and trials. And they were. What are they to be looking for? Understanding that God has done this wonderful thing, and that struggling. Don't forget where you're coming from. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living, lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we have a wonderful, wonderful hope, expectancy, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us who have kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In the light of your wonderful what's ahead, then you can bear up under what you're facing in the world, what they were facing, what we're facing. Therefore, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though think of gold that we did on Sunday night, the trial that of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So we're looking for the trial. That's a fiery trial, an awesomely fire. And we're to be doing so. So we, in the light of what we have, Jeremiah, in the light of what God is going to do with Israel in the future, in all of the wonderment that we studied, reminded ourselves, in all of that, why couldn't you bear with it down here? But the nation is going to go down the tubes. But God's going to make it all right sometime in due season. In the meantime, Jeremiah, don't lose the wonderful hope, the wonderful anticipation, expectation of your future. Don't lose that God is going to keep you where you are until then. So be of good character, Jeremiah. Hang in there, even though you're all alone, even though no one cares. Hang in there. because God cares. So hang in there. God's going to hold you. Hang in there. Now, having said that, I might as well finish that nut verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, we don't, yet believing, oh, why, those nasty words I told you. The believer needs to be believing. It doesn't say believer. It says believing. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what I'm trying to tell you, to get you to see. If you don't practice this, you're going to have next... Think of how here you've come this far. How often do you understand the practice of this? That's what we did last night a little bit. They just aren't believing. People, believers, aren't believing because nothing around them tells them to believe until a crisis comes and then you look and pray for God and try to be faithful in reading and stuff. But that isn't the same thing as believing as a way of life. You're saved. Be enjoying being saved. Back now. If you don't do it, I'm telling you. You already know without me telling you. Therefore, verse 9, receiving the end of your salvation, even the salvation of your soul. Now, to put that together, over to 2 Timothy again. And in 2 Timothy, application, same thing. And remember now, in 64 AD, not that you would know, Nero burned Rome, 64. He started an awesome persecution, great persecution. Paul is going to die in 3 or 4 years, 67, 68, he's going to die under Nero. After Nero kills Paul, he kills himself. I think he kills himself. I forgot how he died. I think he dies, kills himself, whatever. He does that. So Nero, persecution, fire. They burned the center of the city. It took 6 days, the fire did, to burn the city. The fire lasted 6 days. Now, in the light of that, is Paul writing, and Paul's writing to Timothy, his last letter before Nero takes his head, as it were. Now, so therefore, you remember we read, picking up in the light of Timothy, and verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And remember the word. The word to stir up is the word, three. That little verb is the word again, and fire, and again. And it's repeated, fire and again, fire, again, to live, fire. The fire is going to live again. It's on the verge of going out. The ashes are smoking, but there's no fire you can see. The fire is about to go out in your heart. Timothy, Paul is fired up. He's going to be get clobbered pretty quick by Nero. Timothy needs isn't that way. So what does Timothy need? He needs to get the fire in his heart quickened. Quench not the Spirit of God, who does the fire. Don't tell God what he can't do. Jeremiah said, there's nothing too hard for me to do. Don't tell God he can't do something if he wants to do it. If he doesn't want to do it, then relax. Now, so here's Timothy. Stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Now, keeping that in mind, what is Timothy up against? Look at, if you would, chapter 3 and in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, etc., etc., etc. That's what it's going to be. So as you read that, that isn't very positive. That's what Timothy's faith. Paul's living in it. And he's telling him that this is the atmosphere, Timothy, that you're in. Chapter 3, verse 13. Evil men, 3:13. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That doesn't sound very good. And so chapter 4, verse 3. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They don't want to know right. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want light. They love darkness. Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They aren't interested. They aren't interested. Chapter 4, verse 10. Chapter 4 and verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Christens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. What do you mean they've all left? That's right. Keep reading. Verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. And I prayed God that he may not lay it to their charge. Here's Paul about to die, and no one's around him. Where's Peter? Where's Timothy? Where's Titus? Where are you guys? No one's there. He's all alone. All alone. That's what he's doing. That's a tough place. A tough place. There's no one just there. And so verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I'm still going to die, but before I die, I want you to go, guys, you're going to own up, you're going to answer to God. So when I'm going to go talk to God, but God, you're going to answer to God, so you can send me there ahead of you and kill me. But you're going to go and answer to them. I'm ready. I already know him. You don't know him. You don't know him. Now, back over if I can. So here's Timothy, and it's a terrible, terrible fix, a terrible, terrible position, and we just read what it is. It's not an easy place. Jeremiah's in a tough place. Like Job's in a tough place. Jeremiah's in a tough place. Timothy's in a tough place. We're in a difficult place. We're in a difficult place. And people, you should see some of the things people write. I got one today that was something else. It must have been a theologian writing it because it had big words in it and a whole pile of things about something, you know, that you have no idea what the Bible says. And I looked at him, I said, that's true. I read it, but he said, you don't know anything. And then he gave me all those things. Because he didn't like the ad. He said, who do you think you are writing such an ad? I didn't tell him I wrote it. We don't put our name in the ad. I just put you guys. That's all I do. So now, Timothy, all of them, the fire. A clay vessel, but God, when I receive God as my Savior, my whole existence changes. I'm still in a clay vessel, but no matter what the conditions, God is able to keep the word and the words like the jar can hold the word and the words safely. Now, so 2 Timothy chapter 1, if I can, in verse 7, what a fire, what a fire. Now, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, verse 7. And the word, remember the word fear is cowardness. Instead of facing the enemy, we want to turn around and make it go away. We want to close our eyes and hope it isn't going to get us. And instead of facing the enemy, don't be a coward. Don't make believe it isn't real. Don't be saying in your mind, I hope this isn't real. Don't be saying that. The way you face reality is see reality. The reality in whatever is. Whatever you're seeing that's and is real, the real things, God is over, above, and beyond all of that reality that you see. And God has no problem. And I need to see what it is. I said Asa, the enemy against him. Over a million men in the enemy. A million men, over a million against him. And I forgot how many chariots of iron and stuff. Do you know what a million men would look? It'd be like a Chinese army. A million men. Wow. We don't have a million men, I don't think. A million men. It's no problem. It's no problem, Asa. No problem. I'll take care of a million men. I'll take care of 10 million men. Like we did in Sunday that. God said, I can send 10 legions of angels. If I wanted to, here and on the cross, I can send 10 legions of angels. I'd stop it all if I want to. Why can you send one angel? He'll stop it. But I don't. It isn't the thing to do. Everything has to finish out. Therefore, don't be a coward, verse 7, but a power, dynamite, dynamic. Have the power, the dynamite, the dynamic, like your test tires. I think these test tires, isn't it a dynamic test when you test the tire? You spin it around at certain speeds to see if it's balanced, dynamic. Life's the reality, life's reality. Stay with the reality. Have power, dynamite, dynamic. Be able to see you have the dynamic, you have the power, you have the ability to be able to go and face it, not because of you, but because of God in you and God outside of you and God in charge of everything. There's nothing too hard for God. So therefore, you don't be a coward, but have power. And love, I've got to have love. Love, I've got to have what? The wonderful, wonderful love. So no matter what is happening, no matter how it's happening, I never have to have one iota of doubt that God loves us, loves you. No matter what, there's not one second that God isn't loving you. Power and the love of God and a sound mind, sane. We shared that years ago, a long time. We used to do all that. Saneness. The only sane one in the forever is God. Everyone else has got a problem with their mind, and some of it have lots of problems, and that makes it even more difficult. Wow. Go on, have sound mind. Do you remember with the demonic man in Mark chapter 5, I think? Demonic man was, his mind is, and the demon was doing all kinds of things, and the Lord Jesus Christ cured, got rid of the demon and fixed his mind. And he had, and then the word translated, right mind. The man had a right kind of thinking. And he was in the crowd who didn't think right. And he wanted to go with the Lord, to stay with the right crowd. And the Lord said, go back to those unbelievers and be a testimony to them. Because they know what you were. In fact, they would like you to go back to what you were than to walk among them and have a sound mind. To walk among them and tell them the truth. I'd rather have you cuckoo and be among us, see? I can live with that. But to have someone telling me the truth all the time, wow. Now, so power, love, and a sound mind. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful God. God doing what he does. So the saints need to be saintly, and that's what we need to do. We need to have a right mind and look to God, and God's going to do it. And while you're here, we'll close. I hope you got a little bit. It isn't a hard thing. Simple. Believe, I told you. Exercise. Be a believer that's believing. If you're just, I believe, you better put the active present tense, active voice. You better be believing, believer. Or you aren't enjoying a thing. And if I had to go to war, I want believing believers with me. Spiritual war. I don't need people that just believe or say I'm a Christian. No, sir. I got to have people that can stand up to the enemy. The enemy isn't going to want anything. Anytime I want to go against the darkness is going to come at me. And therefore, the only way I can take the darkness is to be a vessel, a child walking in the light, so that I can handle the darkness. Because all the darkness in the world, no matter how deftly, deadly dark, can't do one thing to put the little candle out. Not one thing. I need to walk in the light. I need to be a believing believer. That's what we're trying to practice a little better from now on. You need to be believers, believing. Why? So that we enjoy the trip better. Otherwise, we're just, God help us. So, chapter 4, you know it. Paul says he's going to die. We'll close quickly with it. Verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7. For I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've held the football. They tried to get it out of my hands. They tried to do everything under the earth. I held on and held on. They piled up. Three men weighed 500 pounds each. They stood in my way. But I went around them. You can't run that fast. And ran around them, and I'm going down the finish line. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that, what? Love is appearing. What'd you read in 2 Peter? God said, I'm long-suffering to you. I'm going to burn up the heavens and earth. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to give you another little space. I'm long-suffering to the believers, to give them a little more space.